Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And that's Dennis Halnon, one of the employee owners here at Tab. He helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Speaking of concerns, Morgan had a story that concerned me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, something about the National Highway Safety Administration not able to deal with highway safety issues because, wait for it, they didn't have an integrated IT system? Are you kidding me?
I don't even know what that means.
Right. That's what both Dennis and I are thinking, because we're in the IT world. Whenever you turn anything into an IT system, you better have some other manual system that's wicked effective. But clearly, their current system is not effective enough. And then they're blaming the fact that they don't have an IT system to make our roads safer, and that's why they stink at their job?
Well, I don't even know what it means to be not integrated.
Right. We're wondering what kind of the typewriters they must be using.
Yeah. Maybe they're using ticker tape or something. Yeah.
I mean, if it was like our DMV here in Connecticut, it was over 40 years old, and Morgan brought up the fact the labor, you know, those guys were dealing with a 40, 50-year-old system. But, of course, if your mission really isn't to make your highway safe in any kind of speed, I mean, you can have the title National Highway Safety Administration, but if your mission really doesn't mean make the highway safe, you're not going to build any systems to do so.
Right?
If it was how to make your highway safer faster administration, then maybe they would actually have a system in place to do that. But no. You know, it's all in the name, right? Well, you know what? We'll get Blumenthal on this. He'll put a lot together.
I'm sure he'd love to, and he'd love to have a press conference to tell us all about it.
Yeah, the Government Systemization Act to make your highway safe. Let's go to your calls, though. Let's go to who's been on the longest here. We're going to go to Greg in Waterbury first. What's happening, Greg?
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm okay. I have an issue regarding my computer system. My wife and I have two computers in the living room, in the kitchen. And
really?
Our router is in the living room.
Right.
And I've noticed that I guess I'm talking about download speeds. I guess the question I have is, should I consider getting a mesh system or an extender to get faster download speeds?
Well, let's first start with your internet service. What kind of download speeds are you paying for? Okay.
About 800.
You're paying for 800?
I think it's 800. I'm not sure. I know it's a little. I was paying for 1,000, but I just dropped that recently. So
dropped it to 800.
Maybe I know I should drop it to a little more, but
yeah.
That's.
It's just you and you and your wife in the house, right?
Right.
And when you do a speed test on your laptop in the kitchen, what do you get for speeds on download speeds?
We have two desktops in our kitchen. And when I do my speed test on my phone, it's a little over 300, 400, about 300 to 400 megabits
per second,
which is pretty good considering they had the cable company actually had to come down and check the wiring because I wasn't even getting like half of that. So it's much better.
All right. So what is your speed on your computers?
Maybe at the most 15, 16, something like that.
That's pretty bad.
Ooh, that ain't good at all.
Yeah.
So, right. How old are those computers?
Very old. Mine has an I believe a fourth generation i5.
Fourth gen.
And fourth gen.
Yeah. That's old.
Yeah,
I had hair back when they had fourth gen out. All right. So you're.
I know. It's a matter of we're going to have to buy new computers. You know that. Believe me.
All right. You're going to get through this through committee today.
Huh?
You're going to get this through committee today, I think. So there's nothing you can do to improve this with an extender or anything.
No.
You could run a wire. Like if you didn't mind putting some wire down and some duct tape along the living room as you ran the wire to your computer, then it would get 100 megabit speeds probably, because I bet you don't even have a gigabit NIC in there. I can't even think of 4gen. It probably did have a gigabit NIC in there.
I could. Yeah. Very well could.
So if you hardwired it would solve it.
My wife's computer is older than mine, so I get the fact that we have to get new computers in order to get a better speed.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you may have just I was looking at it saying maybe it's the computer, maybe it's just old.
Exactly,
pretty sure that's what it is.
Yeah, the technology in those machines don't understand 400 megabit speeds of wireless speeds. If they're that old.
Wow. Okay.
Now you could get, again, we talked about the last caller, an external USB wireless adapter might work, but most likely you even have USB 1 generations. You might even get not get the throughput there either. Right? USB A is going to be.
That would be like a ceiling of like 50 megabits.
Yeah.
Just to be able to do that.
So you're not able to do a whole lot here to improve this unless you're on a wire.
Yeah, because what was happening is I was taking Zoom calls and they were just so bad as far as...
They were breaking up.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So that's what prompted this.
All right. Well, you got to go out and buy a computer.
Yep. Okay. Based upon what I've been listening to you guys...
Yeah.
A good computer would be like a Gen 12 or a Gen 13 computer with at least 16 gigs of
You're doing good. Doing good. What else? What else?
With I think about half of terabyte of SSD.
You got it. Oh,
yeah.
You get a gold star.
All right. Yeah.
So minimum of 60. Well, I've got. The funny thing is, I have 16 gigs in the computers I have now because I put an extra. Some extra memory in there, but right around 11 through 13 gen computer with 16 gigs and half a terabyte of SSD, that would do it.
That would do it. Yep, and you'll get another, in your case, 15 years of service.
Yeah. I get it. Believe me, I get it. But you're right. I have to go through the finance committee on this one.
Yeah, I understand. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
Bring donuts to that meeting.
Oh, right. I could have done it yesterday because yesterday is National Donut Day. Here's a donut. It's sort of a trade-off, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, thanks, guys.
All right.
Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
A good day.
Good luck. You too. All right. So he's going to go and upgrade those machines. There's nothing really you can do about systems of that vintage to improve performance. They are what they are. Let's go on to Sue in Southington. What's happening, Sue?
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks. My husband Jim and I are on the phone because we need two adults to try to figure out what we need to do.
All right.
We would like to get rid of cable like most everybody else. And we have Frontier now. We have Wi-Fi. We have a landline. And I kind of like having a landline as a second, you know, and, you know, the cable TV.
Mm-hmm.
We need the Wi-Fi. I'd like the landline, but I definitely want to get rid of the cable TV. If we had a smart TV, are we able to, we like to tape shows that we aren't home for and watch them later, but if we had a smart TV, can we go back and watch some previous episodes that we had missed?
Well, depends on the service you use. So many services give you a free DVR. So like YouTube TV is an example of you could have every show you want to watch, never miss a show. It'll record everything you want to watch. Watch it at any time. all part of their service that you're going to pay for. And I don't think they're the only ones that do this.
I think Hulu does too. Mm. Yeah. Or Hulu Live, they call it.
Right. So
how much are those?
YouTube TV subscription is around $70, I think, a month.
And I think Hulu Live is similar pricing.
Mm-hmm. Lots of channels you're not going to use, though. YouTube TV's got tons of channels. You may want to look at Sling, which has these little breakouts. You can choose different types of channels. They probably have a DVR, too, if I had to guess.
I think they do, yeah.
But the technology should be there. You're not going to have to worry about having any kind of piece of hardware in your home anymore. It's just done by the service.
Mm. So that's a whole lot cheaper than
$70. Yeah, right. You're spending a ton of money on cable, and they don't care. And you've got something called, in Southington, if you're lucky enough, Go NetSpeed is near your home, I hope.
Yeah, they've been here.
Yeah, we do have that option.
Oh, my gosh. How come you haven't done that yet? I mean, for $39, you could be running 500 fiber speeds. That's going to save you a ton of money versus, so you do a YouTube TV subscription and a Go NetSpeed, and you're $100 richer.
Okay, and you just said what again?
You can do a $39, I think they have a $39 500 service. And you don't even need that much speed.
Okay.
So definitely give them a ring. And they might offer phone coming as well from what I've heard.
Oh, okay. Okay. So that sounds like a much better, is there any way we could watch a Red Sox with any of those?
Yeah, the Red Sox are nuts.
I don't remember which of the services does have them.
FUBU.
FUBU. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
This is a bone of contention in our house. Because even when you try to watch the national broadcast of a Red Sox game on YouTube TV, it's blacked out. So it's pretty frustrating, depending on, like, I think it was like TNT or something like that had the game, and we couldn't watch it, something like that. You can watch it if it's on the major broadcasts, if they're there. But if you really want to watch it, Nesson is going to be ridiculously expensive. It's like $30 a month. And but FUBU, check out FUBU. FUBO, I think is what it is. They
FUBO?
Have
FUBO? FUBO.
Yep.
Oh, I thought you were saying Hulu. Oh,
yeah.
Hulu. Well, there is Hulu and then there's FUBO.
Yeah. FUBO, FUBU. I don't know why they...
For us, FUBO. Okay.
Yeah, we'll put the link up to them. That'd be your option if you want to get Nesson. It's part of it. I just saw an advertisement for it.
Well, if it's going to be too much money, I'm not doing it. I'm spending like $220 now, and I always had Nesson ever since for years now. Finally, we were able to get it, but they knocked that off. So we last year. We're paying that, and we're not even getting the Red Sox. So enough is enough is enough.
So Cox not got rid of Nesson as well?
What?
No, we're with Frontier.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I would have to pay more than $220 a month to get Nesson now.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know. So, yeah, check out FUBO. FUBO.
Yeah, got it. And you said, so if we go in, will I know how to do that link that you were talking about?
I don't know. Do you know how to use links? I don't know. I mean, I hope you do.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, go.
My neighbors are younger than we are.
Yeah, go to computertalkwithtab.com, click on the link, and it'll give you information about FUBO.
Yeah. Well, if you go also all the way down to the bottom of our links, the second one up from the bottom is going to have a guide to the different streaming services that we're talking about. But we also will provide a link to FUBO.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
We'll do both.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. We really, most of the time I don't know what you're talking about, but I listen every week. I really enjoy it.
Well, we appreciate you doing that, and good luck.
Yeah, thanks so much.
All right. You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. So they're going to cut the cable in Southington. You got a great option in Southington with Go NetSpeed. We're going to step out for a quick break. Couple lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. We'll be right back. And we are back. We'll be here till 11 o'clock, and we're going to do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Even though we don't have an integrated IT system here, according to the National Highway Safety Administration, we're going to get to your calls fast. You know, they want to fix your roads, but they're not integrated. That's why it's not happening faster. Oh, is that it? Let's go to Steve in Woodbury next. What's happening, Steve?
Hello, guys. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. And I've just got a question about Windows 11. Mm-hmm. I just bought a new computer. It's not even a year old, and it came with Windows 11.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And it seems like it's very draggy for a lot of operations, and there are a couple of programs that when I run them together, it causes the programs to hang up. And I was wondering if this is kind of thing that you guys have experienced with other Windows 11 installations, or does it sound like there's something wrong with the installation on this particular computer?
Well, I would say it doesn't sound to me like anything that we've encountered with Windows 11 specifically. We just have noticed it in all Windows systems.
Here, what he's getting at, though, in all Windows systems,
right,
it's a big bloated operating system.
Right.
See, you just can't have a Pentium computer running it anymore. So where we would go is to ask you the specs of your hardware, right? So if you think about a car or anything else, right, if the car's got 2.5 cylinders, it's not going to go real fast on the highway, right? It's still a car. Everyone agrees it's a car, like a Yugo or something like that, the beach ball of the highways. It's going to have the ability to drive, but will it drive well? Can you actually merge into traffic at a speed that's safe?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of computer did you end up picking up, Steve?
Well, it's an HP Pavilion desktop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Has an 11th generation Core i7.
Okay, you're looking good.
Yeah,
2.5 gigahertz, 16 gigabytes of RAM.
Nice.
Okay,
so you have a Maserati. Not a Yugo. You have a computer that is capable of performing well.
Right. And I assume you have a solid state drive?
Yes, there's a solid state drive and a hard disk.
Oh.
Oh.
Okay.
So you have two drives in there, a spinning drive and a solid state.
Yes.
Do we know where the operating system is? Is it on the solid state, I hope?
That's what I'm assuming. Yeah, I tried to. I'm assuming that's the way it came loaded. But when I first got the computer and I tried loading up some of my other data, it started going onto the C drive, and I had to move everything over to the D drive. So I'm assuming that all the programs are on the C drive.
Right. You're probably correct.
Yeah.
So you're having a performance issue with a machine that is really capable, which is interesting.
Yeah.
So now we got to figure out where that problem lies. i7, plenty of RAM. Where are we going, Dennis? Are we thinking it's heat? Are we thinking it's...
Well,
what are we thinking?
I'm wondering if, it could be heat. The other issue is it could be that his Windows profile is on the spinny drive.
Right.
And these programs, when they load, are reading data from there in order to start up.
Mm-hmm.
And that is causing them to drag.
Yeah.
That's
a thought.
That's kind of a guess. What I would suggest is running disk cleanup on the D drive or the spinny drive, whichever one is the spinny drive, and see if that helps you. It may not remove much,
right,
but it might rewrite things to different locations. You can also do a defrag on it, too.
And, Steve, when you see it's running slowly, what are you doing?
Well, I'm not really doing that. Not doing anything all that, complicated. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times I'm just trying to access something, and then it'll just sit there for a second or two before it actually gives me the information. There's one situation where I run two programs simultaneously, and every time I run it, one of the programs hangs up. Sometimes it's so bad that I have to actually use the power button to restart the computer.
Not good.
You may have a RAM issue.
You may have a RAM issue. You may also have a problem with one of your drives,
mm-hmm,
like where it's actually just failing to respond quickly enough to a request for data.
Yeah.
In other words, we're thinking hardware at this point.
Something physically is wrong. You have a great machine, the right specs, but something's failing. So I would look at RAM first. If you can pop one of those RAM sticks out, if there's two sticks in there, pop one out and see if you can run with one, and then you have a better result. Maybe you'll be able to diagnose which one is bad.
Yeah.
Try there, Steve, too.
All right. That would be the way to start.
Okay, and to run some program on the D drive, the rotating drive.
Right, the cleanup. But we're coming across a hard break here. I got to put you on hold. So we're going to have Steve back on hold because we're not going to be able to get enough time. We'll be right back. And we are back. We're going to try to bring Steve up again because we were running out of time there with poor Steve. And so, Steve, did you get everything you needed on what we want you to do?
Yeah, if you could just tell me what I need to do. You said that there was a process I needed to run on the disk drives.
Yes.
Well, yeah, if you want to do a disk diagnostic, if you've got, I forgot what the brand was you said. Is it an HP? HP? All right. Then the HP support assistant will have a section in it that lets you do diagnostics, and there will be one for storage. I would run that. The other thing that I would do probably first is the memory test, and it should be easy enough to just open it up, pull one stick out, see how it works, and then swap them back out so that you're working on the other one and see what happens with that. And then secondarily, I would run the storage diagnostic.
And they might even have a memory test on the diagnostic? I'm not sure.
Well,
that
there is a memory test. Matter of fact, it's built into Windows. You can do it at boot time. But that takes a lot longer than the quick thing that you and I are talking about doing. That's why I just suggest that, and I know you do too. So.
Yeah, we're guessing you have two 8-gig sticks in there, Steve.
Right.
If you don't, then our test won't work because you can't.
Right. If you only have one stick and it's 16, then the other thing to do would be to do the drive diagnostics and also do the memory diagnostic.
We think that
would be the only route to take with that.
Something is physically a problem with your new machine, Steve, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, where would I find these diagnostics in the Windows system?
Well, with Windows 11, what you would do is go to the Settings app.
Uh-huh.
You're going to get a commercial from Microsoft when you go there.
Hang on a second. I'm going to pull up the procedure.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
You're here. Matter of fact, what we can do is post this on the website.
Yeah.
It's got quite a few steps. But what you're doing is you're in Windows and you're telling it to reboot into a special mode that will run the memory test. That's the plan. But that's something you should only have to do if you only have one stick in there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the swapping method that we suggested will, if there are two sticks, that will isolate which one is bad.
All right. Well, what about the disk drive test?
Well, that will be in the HP support assistant.
HP support system. Okay.
Assistant. Basically, it's that
support assistant.
It's that little blue question mark, right?
And if you open that up on the right side near the top, there will be a whole box. This is fixes and diagnostics.
Right.
And then you can click on a link at the bottom of that box that says see all fixes and diagnostics. And there should be, well, it looks like the one thing that you're going to run is run hardware diagnostics there.
Yeah, run
there
that.
There doesn't seem to be one dedicated to storage.
Just run that, Steve, no matter what, after you hang up with us. Just run it and see what you find. Something's wrong.
Okay. All right, I'll give that a shot.
Yeah, good luck.
All right, thanks for being there, guys.
Yep, our pleasure.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, you just, when your machine, like when that thing's a Maserati, is performing like it is a Pinto, you know there's a problem. Let's go on to Andy in Windsor. Hey, Andy.
Hi, how are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
Good. Hey, I'm calling because I'm trying to find a simple program that will shut down my computer after 4 hours of inactivity. But there used to be several of them out there. I know you can do it through Windows.
Yeah.
Through the task scheduler, but I always screw that up. So I'm wondering if there's any simple programs anymore that'll do that. There used to be.
Yeah, nothing comes to mind than besides using Windows for me.
Well, back in like Windows 95 days, there was a third-party app that would do it. But it's been built into Windows at least since then, and that's the only way that I would go.
The task scheduler.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
And we can post another link about how to do that if you'd like.
Yeah, I'd appreciate it.
You want it shut all the way down, right? Not just sleeping.
Yeah, shut all the way down. Agreed.
Yeah. All right. We'll put a link up there for Andy. I know it can be a pain, but it's Windows. Are you running Windows 11 or 10 or what are you running?
10.
10. Okay.
Well, this article is for both of those.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. That's fine.
All right, Andy. We'll get it up there for you.
All right. Thank you.
You got it. Bye bye. It's a great way to save some money, too, on your power bill, especially here in Connecticut. You don't want your machine running and running and running if you're not doing anything with it. Definitely put it into sleep mode minimally. Let's go to Cheshire and Kevin. What's going on, Kevin?
Hey, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I've been using my iPad Pro for, 3 or 4 or 5 years, and I've never had a bit of problem with it, but... lately, I'm getting it's freezing up. And I'm pretty religious about updating the updates and making sure it's current. But I have two different iPad Pros, and I'm getting the same issue on both of them, where the screen just locks up, and you have to wait 2 or 3 minutes for it to unfreeze.
Curious how that would happen. iPad's been notorious. I mean, Apple itself has been notorious for creating what looks to be a hardware problem that is then forcing you to buy a new device, whether they throttle your battery or they throttle your performance or there's not enough storage to begin with, so you fill up your storage instantly. And both of them doing the same thing at the same time just smells suspicious to me. Did you find anything?
Yeah, they're two different generations of iPad Pro, so I'm kind of curious as to why that could be.
I didn't find anything that kind of points to it, but the only time that I've heard of this was a friend of mine that had an iPad, and what he ended up doing to make it run better was to do a factory reset and start over. But you've got two of them and they're both acting up. I guess you could do the same thing with both of them, but that sounds like a lot of work. I'm wondering.
There's lots of things. I mean, there's a ton of things you can do.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I guess a frozen iPad is pretty common out there. I've never had a frozen Samsung. I don't know why frozen iPads seem to be the case, but
I wonder if it's an app that you have on both of them that you recently installed that might be causing an issue. Or an app updated.
Nothing comes to mind, but that's not a bad thought.
It could be any, even an app that you've had on there for years that recently updated and now is causing an issue.
And there is a diagnostic, I guess, with these iPads.
Oh, really?
You can do like a deep repair or a standard repair. I don't know. I'm just reading the iOS system repairs. There's lots of stuff. We can put this link up that I found that gives you like 7 different things you can try to fix frozen iPads. I think Dennis is onto something with the apps. Space, the other big thing, like I mentioned earlier, is storage space. Do you have enough space on the device anymore? Have you filled it up?
Yeah, well, I've got a lot of apps on there, so maybe...
there is a place you can look for iPad storage to see if you have enough, and I swear they make them too small to begin with on purpose. That's kind of how they make their money, so... Check to see if you can free up some space. But we'll put
that factory. that factory reset you talked about, what does that wipe out in terms of, do I have to reload all the apps or would those hold?
You'll have to.
They won't come down from the cloud?
They will, yes.
Okay, yeah.
It's not hard to do. It's just kind of time consuming. And a lot of it will come back down from the cloud because iCloud knows how your iPads are set up.
Right.
And when you factory reset them and then log in again with your Apple ID, it's going to say, this is new, and I know you had one.
Right.
So would you like me to restore it? And it will go through a wizard where it lets you put things back. It's just, like I said, it's more... It's not difficult. It's just time consuming.
Yeah. And if you've got data on there that you haven't backed up, Kevin, that would be gone.
Like camera pictures and stuff. If they haven't been backed up elsewhere, and I hope you've been doing it.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the help.
Yeah. There's some links for you to try on the page. And I don't know. It just seems fishy to me.
Okay. All right. Have a good day.
You got it, sir.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. I mean, they were caught again doing something with batteries and throttling the batteries.
Well,
and
right. And yes, they were.
Mm-hmm. Why? Oh, because we're worried that your phone won't work well enough if it really tries to.
It'll be a performance issue.
Yeah. And there was another one. I think there was a setting having to do with some green energy where if you turn that feature on and it thought you're getting energy from a coal-fired plant or something like that.
A coal-fired plant during the middle of the day.
Yeah, yeah.
It would lower the charging capacity so that it's not drawing as much electricity.
Thanks, Apple.
Because we have to be green.
Be green, man. You don't want the green police after you. Let's go to I don't know. Jack in Glastonbury has been on the longest. Hey, Jack.
Good morning.
Morning.
I have an old 16-bit application that I would like to reactivate, so I need some help on installing a Windows 98 environment for Windows 10 and Windows 11.
You're going to do a virtual environment is what you're going to do.
Yeah.
That's something we're going to have to find and post for you because it's not something we do very often, but you're going to be able to spin up a virtual environment, VM, on the Windows 10 system. And follow some instructions to do that. That's a way to do it. You could also do like an Ubuntu type of thing where you could do and get it virtually that way as well.
You can. Okay.
Yeah. Here you go. Dennis is going to geek out on you. Look out.
This is not what I would recommend for a 16-bit. I would rather do the virtual Windows 98 first. Mm-hmm. But what you can do is you can take Linux.
Yeah.
You make sure that it includes 32-bit support in addition to 64. And in most Linux distributions, you actually have to invoke a command to do that, and it'll reset things, and you reboot it. Then you install something called Wine, W-I-N-E, and that will... Well, what Wine stands for is Wine is not an emulator, but in truth,
yes,
it's a Windows emulator. Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't know why the people who are behind it are so adamant that it's not an emulator. It is an emulator. Mm-hmm. Okay. It is.
Yep.
Just take my word for it.
Yep.
Once you've installed that, you may be able to use that to install your 16-bit app and have it work. But I'm not thinking that it's very likely.
Gotcha.
There's potential. But I would try Windows 98 in a virtual environment using a product that's free called VirtualBox.
Yep, and we'll put a link to VirtualBox.
Yeah.
Okay. Assuming I can get that installed and get the 16-bit up and running, when I go to boot up the computer, does that virtual 98 environment and come up with it, or do I have to click on something to get that running?
Normally you would have to launch it, but I do think there's a way to have it come up automatically.
Okay.
Are you going to try it? What are you going to do with it, Jack? Just curious.
there's a data link, a link to a data site that I need in there, and I only need it for a brief period of time each day.
Okay.
All right. So I'm not going to continuously run it. I, you know, if the Windows, if the 98 environment would, you know, somehow interfere with Windows 11, I'd just shut it down. Shut down the 98 environment.
No, it won't interfere. It'll just sit there and either it'll work or it won't work. Sometimes speaking to the hardware might be difficult. If you need to interface with USB ports, you're going to have some troubles there. But if it's just a software link, then you should be okay. If it has to talk to hardware, you're going to have other issues.
No, no, it's just strictly my computer to another server.
Okay. We will put a link on VirtualBox and how to use it and get it going.
Great. One more question. Mm. I'm on SBC Global for email.
Oh, my gosh. Get off of that. Get off of that, Jack.
Is there a U.S.-based company that's comparable to Proton?
Probably. I don't know, though. I've been so happy with Proton and it's a fully encrypted email system that I have not investigated a U.S.-based company that offers that type of mail system. I mean, obviously you would use the one that comes to mind would be Microsoft 365, right? That would be an alternative.
Yeah, I'd prefer not to use Microsoft or Gmail.
Yeah, well, there's not a whole lot of competitors out there. That come to mind. How about you, Dennis? U.S.-based email competitor.
Well, if that doesn't use Microsoft, if you're looking for privacy that Proton offers, the whole idea is that it's not in the U.S. It's in Switzerland,
right?
So, it sounds like the kind of animal that you're looking for is, I don't know.
Yeah.
It's hard for me to say.
Okay, in terms of customer support with Proton.
Mm-hmm.
Have you had any experience with that?
I haven't had no issues at all.
I haven't experienced their customer service either.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'll give Proton a try then.
Yeah, check it out.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
You're welcome, Jack. All right, so he's got something to do on a Saturday morning. We're going to step out for a quick break or Carolyn's going to get mad. So Maureen, Mahesh, and Rick, hang on. And Mike, too. We'll be we are back again. Let's get right to your calls and get through as many as we can here. We're going to go to Mahesh, who's been on the longest. Hello, Mahesh.
Yes. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
I'm looking for a recommendation for a couple of questions I have.
Mm-hmm.
You know Microsoft Toy is called freeware tool called Sync Toy.
I didn't quite catch that. Say that again.
Sync Toy, S-Y-N-C-T-O-Y.
Sync Toy.
Yeah. It's a free tool from Microsoft developed back in early XP days, which allow you to copy those files across the physical drive to the external drive without making a big changes in your system. Basically, can contribute the file across all the changes.
Gotcha. So it's not going to mess with the date stamps, is what you're saying?
No, correct. It just basically anything change on the physical computer, you can run the tool and it contribute across the external drive. Is it like a backup tool?
Yeah.
I looked it up. There is something called SyncToy, but it's been discontinued.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So you're not going to be able to get it from Microsoft, and I'm going to stop you right now going to some other website that says, we've got Microsoft SyncToy. They won't let you have it, but we have it for you. Well, no, don't do that.
No, don't do that. The Microsoft community has got a ton of questions on this, too.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm looking for some replacement recommendation.
If you feel like going the command line route, there's something that's built into Windows called RoboCopy.
Oh, right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it even has what's called a mirror switch that will cause it to write the files in exactly the same state from place to place.
There's your answer, Mahesh. You came to the right place.
And you'll have to do is you're going to have to create a batch file. That will perform the copy. We'll post information about how to structure the command, But you'll just create a simple batch file with just the RoboCopy command in it that probably is the only thing you're going to need inside of it. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to use Task Scheduler to run it periodically.
Correct. Thank you.
All right.
You're welcome.
Second question is, I have a lot of DVDs from a lot of memories and pictures. I want to convert to the like digital version because nowadays you can't find a DVD player even, you know, anymore.
I know. Well, I mean, we've recommended a product, a company called Legacy Box for that. That you can actually you can put everything in a box and you ship it to them and they'll convert it to whatever medium you'd like.
Oh, digital. Okay. Is there any way I can do home for myself? Any software I can?
Probably. It's just a matter of finding the software and doing all that work. I've never done it personally myself, and I've got the same problem you do. I can't even think of software that I would recommend you try to take the DVDs and extract their data and then move it over to maybe a USB stick or to hard drives is probably what you're thinking, right?
Like portable drive.
Yeah. No, I don't know any off the top of my head. Maybe some of the listeners can chime in, maybe post some feedback on Facebook as far as what they've used. I've not done anything personally, so I don't know. And Dennis doesn't seem like he has either. So
no.
So unfortunately, we don't have anything for you there, Mahesh.
All right. I appreciate your time, sir.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, sir. Have a nice day.
You too. All right. So, RoboCopy. Good old RoboCopy.
Yeah. It's terrific stuff if you know how to use it.
And when he's talking about a switch, it's a command switch.
Right.
In the syntax of the RoboCopy. Let's go on to your calls and try to get one more in here before we run out of time. And we're going to go to... Oh, boy. Poor Rick in Manchester. I hate this when this happens. What's happening, Rick?
Hey, how you doing, guys? How are you?
Good.
I'll try to make this as quick as possible. I know you don't have much time.
No.
I've got an HP laptop Stream, HP Stream laptop. And it's been, I bought it from a guy, and it ran fine for like a year. Everything was perfect. Then I started having problems with it. And the battery started, it started shutting off less and less time. Like it would stay on for 2 hours, then it would stay on for an hour.
Yep.
Then it would shut off after a half hour, and finally it just shut off.
Yep.
And I tried several different things. I'm a tech, so I mess around. I tried several different things, and I couldn't come up with anything. And finally I thought, well, maybe the battery's shot.
Yep.
So I put a brand new battery in, charged it up for 24 hours. It's fully charged. I checked the voltage from the battery through the ribbon cable to the main board, and it's got the correct voltage. But I cannot turn that thing on. It will not start.
Board issue, motherboard issue. Though.
Yeah.
If it's not the power, it's got to be the board.
Power regulation in the motherboard,
So I think you're going to pronounce it dead.
Can I replace the main board, or is it just not worth it?
Well, yeah, it's not worth it. I mean, you could do it. But
it would cost, the cost of doing it, or the cost of getting the part would be almost what the whole thing is worth.
Yeah.
So we're gonna then you've got like a good couple hours of work to do it.
Right. Sorry, Rick. We're out of time, too. I want to thank Carolyn for producing and Mike for posting everything live for us. And it's all out there at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. If you like us on Facebook, we'll get into your newsfeed.
And remember, we want you to be geeks, too.
See you next Saturday.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.